God created the world, and the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and yet the Apostle John says, do not love the world. Which one's right? Am I to love the world or not love the world? God loved the world. In fact, he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. How could John say, do not love the world? What am I supposed to do? I want to talk about that subject, whether I need to love the world or not. First of all, I believe that the Bible teaches I should love the people of the world, but not the system that the people has created. I should love the people of the world. When Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So I am to love the people of the world. In fact, loving the people of the world is the second greatest commandment of all. Loving the people of the world is the second greatest commandment of all. If I break the second greatest commandment, have I committed the second greatest sin? the way to Jesus, what does it mean, do not love the world? I think the best commentary on the Bible ever written, is the Bible. It's amazing how many times it explains itself. And I go off and I don't know what he's talking about, you know? And he explains himself. In our Sunday school lesson today, we were talking about the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a good name, don't you think? It's a good name. Yeah. We're done with the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. And the whole chapter talks about shepherd and sheep. The whole chapter. And he says, the shepherds are not taking care of the sheep. The shepherds are looking out for themselves and not looking out for the sheep. The whole chapter. And he says they don't take care of the wild animals. They don't take care of the sick sheep. They don't go and find the lost sheep. All the way through the whole chapter, over and over and over and over. God's going to hold them responsible because the shepherd are not taking care of the sheep. The last verse of the chapter, Ezekiel chapter 34, the last verse, he said, you men are the sheep, and I'm the shepherd. God's the shepherd. So he uses figurative language all the way through, and then he explains what the figurative language means. So I told my class of three this morning, everybody's gone somewhere, but that many, many times, there is figurative language in the Bible, but many times the Bible explains the figures. It explains what the figures mean. It means that the symbolic language is there, but he explains it. So we need to let the Bible explain the Bible. John says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he explains what he's talking about. The world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. The world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That basically he gave a three-part definition and then just kind of threw in a fourth part there. So let's just look at the fourth part to start with, verse 17 of 1 John chapter 2. He says, the world is passing away. Anything that's passing away is a part of the world. You've heard me say before, when I used to complain about my mama's cooking, I used to complain about it now, I wish I had some of it, but she said, just eat it. 100 years from now, you won't know any difference. And you know what? Almost everything we get upset about, 100 years from now, won't make any difference. None. I mean, none. Most of it 100 days from now won't make any difference. Some of it 100 hours from now won't make any difference. I've studied the Bible for a number of years, and you may be able to add to my list, but I have a list so far. I have a running list of what the Bible says is going to last forever. God's going to last forever. He's an eternal being, right? The Bible's going to last forever. The Bible's already been settled. God's word's been settled in heaven. It's an eternal word. It's going to last forever. Guess what else is going to last forever? The souls of people. If you want to invest your life in something that's long-term, God, the Bible, and people. Anything else you waste your time on because it's going to go away soon. I mean, I can become a millionaire, multimillionaire, and lose it overnight. If you don't believe it, just read history of millions of people who lived before 1929. Had all kinds of money. Just went away. And if it doesn't go away, what happens? I die physically, so for me it's gone away anyway. So invest your life in the things that really matter. Invest your life in the things that really matter. Things are eternal. So John says don't love the world because the world is passing away. Now, the problem is, you know, I tell people that the reason they ought to be able to quit smoking and I not have to go on a diet is because you don't have to smoke. You can just stop. I have to eat, and every time I eat, it tempts me to eat more. So the fact is that we can realize that things just don't last. Things are gone. Things are gone forever. They pass away. I think I told you a number of weeks ago, I had a friend one time whose grandson fell in love with his car. I mean, he loved his car. A beautiful car. He washed that thing once or twice a week. It looked good and all that stuff, and he kept it up. I mean, that was his life. And he wrecked his car and then committed suicide. And you say, man, anybody knows better now. I mean, you can buy another car. You can fix that car. And yet, that car meant so much to him that when it got messed up, he took his own life. We fall in love while we think he had some kind of mental problem. We fall in love with things that are just temporary. And they mean so much to us. They're the most important part of our life. And just a few years from now, they won't mean anything. Not anything. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, the lust of the flesh. We do live in a sin-cursed world. I live in a sin-cursed body. You live in a sin-cursed body. Your fleshly desires want a lot of things that your flesh should not have. You have a sin nature, and you want things. As the lust of the flesh, the unbridled desire for certain things in your life. And that's a part of what John meant by the world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The things that I want that God says I shouldn't have. The things that I want to participate in and God says I shouldn't participate in. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, what I see. And let me admit to you that what we see is more of a temptation to men than to women. Men nearly always, there are exceptions, but men nearly always are creatures of sight. And so what they see is a temptation to them. Women are creatures of words. Nearly always. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, women are creatures of words. So we have men committing sin by looking at pornography, and we have women committing sin by reading the drugstore love stories, the love romance stories that describe all that stuff that men imagine when they look at the pornography. And it's just because we are built different. But the fact is, we need to control all those urges. We need to control those. They are part of the world that we should not love. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. Those who love the world are not of God. All the world consists of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. My little grandson wants to be the center of attention. And when he's doing something, anything, he'll stop and look around and make sure everybody's looking at him. I mean, he wants everybody to look at him. He wants to be the center of attention. And that's really cute when they're 13 months old. It's a pain when they get to be 21 years old. I want everybody to see me and who I am and what I can do. The boastful pride of life. Pride is a sin. Many of us think it's the sin that condemns Satan. But pride is a sin. And many of us have the problem of wanting to be the center of attention. one of my favorite writers who's died now, but anyway, Bill Bright, who put together the four spiritual laws. He used to give out a bunch of tracts and stuff, and his organization gave out tracts, the Campus Crusade for Christ, and in the tract, right at the end of the tract, when he was trying to get people to make a decision for Jesus, he talked about that before I become a Christian, I am on the throne of my life. I'm on the throne. When I become a Christian, I get off of the throne of my life and let Jesus become king. That's what it means to become a Christian. That I give up control and let him be in control. I give up being the center of everything and let him be the center of everything. See, when we come to worship, what should happen in our worship service is that we worship God, that God should be central. And somebody leaves and complains to me, and I don't mind you complaining. In fact, I think we ought to share with each other what we like about the service and what we don't like and all that. But when somebody complains, I didn't enjoy that. You know what my thought is? And I don't want to be mean, but we didn't design it for you to enjoy it. We designed it hoping he would enjoy it, right? That's why we're here, to try our very best to worship him and to make him central. And my human nature wants to make me central. I want people to leave and say, Lee, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. That was the best song I've ever heard anybody sing. And all of us have that desire. We have to fight that desire. The boastful pride of life, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. In other words, John says, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. And I'll just throw in the fact that it's going to pass away too. It's going to be gone. It's passing away. It's in the process of passing away. Don't love the world. Romans chapter 12, and most of you know verse 1, but let me try to remind you of verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul is writing in the book of Romans. He begins his practical application in chapter 12. Chapters 1 through 8 deals with what we should believe. Chapters 12 through 16 deals with how we should behave. Chapters 9, 10, 11 deal with the Jewish nation. But anyway, in chapter 12, he is making practical application. He's making practical application. In verse 2, you recognize verse 1, but I'm not going to mention that one. But verse 2, Paul writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. Generally, in Bibles, I don't like paraphrases. But a number of years ago, somebody paraphrased the New Testament. And the way he paraphrased this verse was, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't become like the world. Now, all of us have a temptation to be like other people. Fascinates me, as I get older, fascinates me that people, younger people, want to dress like other younger people. And it doesn't make a difference how they dress. Just want to dress. I want to look like the others. I don't want to be different. I want to be like everybody else. And but older women, if they go into a party or something, what do you women do? What are you gonna wear? I want to make sure I'm not going to a party where all the women are wearing nice dresses, and I'm in my jeans. Neither do I want to go to a party where everybody's wearing jeans, and I wore my best dress. So we call up, what are you going to wear? Because I want to fit in with the crowd. Well, that's okay in many things, but Paul is saying, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't become like the world wants you to become. You know, as a young person, as a teenager, what is our one excuse when we want to do something and mama says we can't do it? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. And teenagers, you need to know that that desire to be like everybody else never goes away. We adults hide it quite a bit, but it's still there. We want to make sure we're like everybody else. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be different. Well, some of you want to be different, but most of you don't want to be different. Some of you want to be different because you're wrestling with the pride of life and you want people to notice you. Want to notice you. I like black shirts. And I've got two black shirts and my wife complains because I bought them and don't wear them. And every time I wear them, I just feel awkward. I just feel strange. I like to look at the old cowboy movies that the guy wearing black, total black, like that. I just think that looks good. But I'm ashamed to wear it. I think I wore my black shirt to church twice since I've had it. Because I just feel odd. I feel like Lee's trying to look like a reverend. You know, he's trying to look like the fellow that wears the collar backwards type deal. So everybody will know he's a preacher. And so I end up not wearing it because I don't want to be different than everybody else. I know many preachers who don't want people to know they're preachers because folks treat preachers different. Some people, when they're around preachers, they won't say any bad words or tell any dirty jokes. Some people, when they're around preachers, they use more bad language and more dirty jokes. But very few people treat preachers just like a normal person. He's weird. You know, I have a neighbor across the street. I don't think he has a clue what my name is. He calls me Reverend. How you doing, Reverend? I said, I'm doing all right. You know? But the fact is, all of us have a tendency to want to be special. To want to be special. I want my waitress at the restaurant to treat me special. Don't you? I want my wife to treat me special. Tell her. I want her to treat me special. Make sure she knows I want to be treated special. All of us do that. That's a part of the pride of life, that I'm different. I'm smarter than you are. I'm in better shape than you are. I got more money than you got. It's something. I'm just special. That's a part of the world. I don't want to be conformed to the world. But what should I want? To be transformed. You know what that word really is? Transfigured. I want to be changed from the inside out. I want to be changed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transfigured. By what? How do I do that? By the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? I become so familiar with the Word of God that my thoughts are His thoughts. You say, Lee, you'll never make it. That's okay. I'll die trying. Trying to become like Him. By transforming my mind. By spending time in the Word. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not love the world. Love the people of the world, but don't love what the world became as a result of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. Don't be conformed. Don't be liked like the world. Don't let them put you into the mold. And they always want to do that. Most of you know I lived in the country. I grew up, my dad had a little beer joint, and what you would call the town alcoholics, 1 to 10, and I don't think they were alcoholics. But anyway, what the Bible calls drunks were some of my best friends. And since I've left there, and I've been gone 40 years, it amazes me that I look back, and if somebody in my dad's store, you could drink on premises, you could drink the beer right there, if somebody offered somebody else a beer, I'm going to buy you a beer, and they turned them down, that was an insult. That was an insult. You just didn't do that. I'm not sure if you can say, well, they want you to be like me, you know. I'm not sure that's what they were doing. But they consider it an insult if you turn them down. The world wants you to be like it. The world wants you to be like it is. And it is not good. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, transfigured, by the renewing of your mind. I wish I could tell you that's easy. I wish I could tell you that it's easy not to love the world. It's hard. Because some of the things in the world I'm all right with. You know, if you've heard me use this illustration before, but if you said, Lee, had you rather go to church or go to a Braves ball game? I'll take church every time. Every time. But the problem is, it's not because I love the Lord that much. It's because I don't get anything but baseball. You know, so it's not a temptation to me. Just not. That's not a temptation. You say, Lee, we're going to cook steaks on the grill, and we're going to have them ready at 11:30. You got to be here. 11:30 Sunday morning. And that's a temptation, brother. I mean, you done got close to home now. So, and all I'm trying to illustrate is that not all of us are tempted by the same thing, but all of us are tempted. The world, to me, may be one picture, and the world to you may be another picture, but the fact is the world are sinful things that we need to avoid. Do not love the world. Do not fall in love with the world. You have to live here, and you have to participate in the world, but don't fall in love with it. Don't fall in love with it. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.